Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all, friend, if He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He came to be. If He isn't yours, He can be today, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, what a great privilege. What a great privilege it is for me to say good morning, friend, or greetings, friend. My name is Tom Price. Been doing that for a long time, starting with this program, starting a brand new year, 31st year of radio ministry. Isn't that amazing? 31 years doing the radio. That tells you I'm getting old, but what a way to go. Hey, man. What a way to go. Hey, listen, one of these days my lips will be silent. One of these days they'll lay this cold body in the ground if the Lord doesn't come soon. You know what? That'll come all too soon for me, but if it does, bless God. And when it does, up till that time, I want to continue to do my part to tell the good news is I've that Jesus saved. Well, Debbie and I are humbled and excited that you have tuned in, and we'd love to hear from you. Hey, 31 years, beginning 31 years, that's a milestone. That means we've just completed 30 years. And well, we appreciate all of you that listen, pray, support this program financially and spiritually, prayerfully. We certainly do. Couldn't do it without you. In fact, couldn't do it without you. And we're thankful for you. We trust that we are a blessing to you. If there's anything we can do to help you out, pray for you, or if you'd like to become a part of this ministry financially, you just write and let us know. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Every penny that you give will go into the spreading of the gospel for this old country preacher. I've opened my Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Very familiar passage to Bible readers. When Debbie does this beautiful song, the title of it is, Who Is This King? I'll meet you there in Isaiah 6. Share the message God has laid on my heart. Enjoy, I know you will.
In the town that's called Bethlehem, so many years ago, there was a king that was born. He was born in a stable low, but most did not realize what had taken
How wonderful that he is. Well, listen, I'll tell you who he is. He's the King of Glory, thank God, and he's the very one that Isaiah saw high and lifted up, setting upon the throne in Isaiah chapter 6. He's the one that Ezekiel saw sitting on the throne, transported by those strange beasts. He's the one that John said that he saw in chapter 4 of the book of the Revelation. My, he's the one, friend, that Daniel said, I saw the Ancient of Days sitting. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I want to talk to you today for just a little while about something that will change you. Something that will change you. In the book of Isaiah chapter 1, I'm going to read the first 4 verses, and then I'll read the rest of them as I get to them and share the points of the message with you. But I'll tell you, there's something in this chapter that will change anybody, and everybody will look at it and let what's going on here that happened to Isaiah affect you like it did Isaiah. I don't know about you today, but I believe the way things look in our nation, the way things look in the world, friend, listen, we need to have the right look. Do you hear me? We need to have the right kind of look. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of look that these, what do they call them? What kind of TV shows, reality TV shows have? You know, they've got these makeovers. They've got these transformations that they do. And they do some amazing things with some pretty homely or scary even looking people. I've watched a few of them with my beloved. I because I love her, I'll watch them. But you know what they do? When they begin to do these makeover shows, when they begin to do these transformations, they call them, the only thing they do is work on the outside. I mean to tell you, they make over the outside. They change the hair length, the hairstyle, the hair color, the lip color, the eyeshadow. They find them a wardrobe and this and that and one thing and another. They change them, friend, on the outside. But thank God, we need something that goes all the way to the heart, all the way to the very foundation of who and what we are. I'm telling you, we need to get a look that'll change us, friend. And Isaiah presents one to us here. And I'll probably never get this preached today. Listen, I know when I step into this chapter, any place in the Word of God, though it's holy ground, but it seems there are some places that I just have some sense, or maybe it's my sense of deeper holiness than other places. But listen to what Isaiah said. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Thank God, just in a time when old Isaiah needed to see something, he saw the right thing. He had a good relationship with King Uzziah, which was a godly king. He was a good king. But you know what? Because he was a man, he was disobedient. I mean to tell you, he intruded into the priestly office, and God brought a judgment upon him, a chastisement upon him. He caused him to have leprosy, and for the last, 10, 12, 15 years, I forget exactly which one it was, 12, I think now that I'm recalling it in my mind. He lived in a house by the palace as a leper while his son Jotham ruled and reigned over the kingdom. But there was a day when an earthly king, I'm about to get happy, when that earthly king that was a friend with that prophet, that great man of God, Isaiah, that had befriended him, that loved him, that no doubt communicated with him, he died. Oh, he died. And I'm telling you, something moved deep in the heart and the mind and the spirit of Isaiah, that God had something to quicken him. God had something to change him. God had something that would charge him and motivate him and get him back to the right place and the right look. And it was a vision of himself. Oh, listen And friend, I'll tell you, we may have friends to die. We may have loved ones to die. We may come up with circumstances in this life that seem to be unbearable and terrible. But oh, I'll tell you what will enable us to get over it and get beyond it and go on in spite of it is if we get a good look at God Almighty, where He's at, who He is, what He can do, and what He's called us to. But listen, oh, Isaiah said, listen, I saw the Lord sitting. Thank God, I like that. He was sitting on a throne. Listen, that throne's permanent, don't you know? And Isaiah said He was sitting. He wasn't up there pacing the throne room. He wasn't up there wringing His hands, wondering what in the name of goodness He was going to do in light of the fact that an earthly king died, or in light of the fact that something bad had happened here on planet Earth. Hey, He was sitting in all His regal and royal majesty. He was sitting in the place, thank God, where He has always sat. Heaven is His throne, the Bible said. Earth is His footstool. God is, God was, and God always shall be. And Isaiah said, I saw Him sitting. Isaiah said, I saw Him sitting there. He wasn't troubled. He wasn't worried. He wasn't calling for His court courtiers, nor His court counselors. He needed none. He needed no counsel from man, because He is the counselor Himself. He needed no direction, because He's able to direct every man in a right path for His honor and for His glory. And Isaiah said, I saw Him. That's what we need to do. Bless God. We need to have a vision of something. We need to have a renewed vision of who God is, of where God is, of what God is, and what God is doing. And Isaiah said, I saw Him sitting upon the throne. And Isaiah said, He's high and lifted up. And I don't know about you, there's some men sometime, they'll kind of debate and talk about things that I'm not sure we ought to be talking about. They'll wonder if Isaiah saw this in the throne or in the temple in Jerusalem and the holy place that was therein. Or did God let him look into heaven? Well, I'll tell you where this old preacher thinks God let Isaiah see Him. I believe it was in that temple. Bless God Almighty. That was made without hands. That eternal place that God occupies in the heavens. Thank God. Listen, I'm telling you, friend, Isaiah was seeing something that would change him and charge him and cause him to be cleansed and commissioned him. That's something. But he saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on the throne, and His train filled the temple. You say, what is that train? Well, that train's a robe. Bless God, it was so great, it was so long that it filled the temple. And you know what I believe it typifies? You know what I believe it speaks of? Thank God, this is why I believe we're on holy ground today. I believe it speaks of His almighty holiness. I believe it speaks about His glorious splendor. I believe it speaks about His glorious majesty. I believe it speaks about Him and who He is. And listen, friend, you think of this, how glorious God is, how glorious this vision is. Isaiah said, I saw Him sitting on the throne, and His train filled the temple. I'd never got this before in my life until I was studying this just a little while ago this morning. You know that the seraphims that were there, those strange creatures that seemed to be connected with and concerned with the glory of God and the holiness of God. Listen, friend, so great. So great was the splendor of God. So great was the glory of God. So great great was the majesty of God, that those angels, holy as they may be, as pure as no doubt they are, they were seraphims. They were burning, bless God. They were continually crying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty." They were doing it antipathically, and I couldn't pronounce that right, meaning one may have said, "Holy, holy, holy," looked over the other one. The other one said, "Holy, holy, holy," and so forth. Or they all at the same time cried, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Whatever the case may have been, that temple where God sat on the throne, where His train filled Him, where His glory and His splendor just occupied all of it, they couldn't listen, find a place to put their feet. They had to hover before Him. I'm telling you, friend, we need to see Him who's high and lifted up. It'll have an effect on us. Don't you know that? Hey, listen, so great, bless God, was that Isaiah said the post of the doors moved with the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then he goes on. We see Isaiah seen. But we see something else. We see Isaiah confessing. You know what? When we get the right view of God, it'll affect us. I was reading after someone one time on this very passage, and they talked about, listen, being ruined by the vision of God. And when I first saw that, I thought, well, I don't know about that. Look, that'll ruin you. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. We get the right look at God, and we'll see the right look at ourselves. We'll get the right view of us. Do you realize that? Do you understand? When we see God as He is, in His abject holiness, oh friend, in His loftiness, in His majesty, in His splendor, in His glory, hey, it'll do something for us. It'll drive us to the dust when we see Him. And then we see ourselves, bless God, in His glory. Oh, it'll cause us to confess like Isaiah confessed. And he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." And now Isaiah specified in how he was. He said, "I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips." And then he goes on to say, "Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." That's a message right there in itself. But let me say this. If you say, "Preacher, was Isaiah's only problem what was coming out of his mouth?" And I'm going to tell you, no. I believe the picture here is, I believe the truth is, Isaiah said, "Oh, I've got a heart problem. I've got a heart problem, God. I'm undone in my heart, out of which are the issues of life, and out of which the mouth speaketh." Do you know, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh? And that's what Isaiah was getting to. Isaiah was getting to his heart. Isaiah was saying, "Hey Lord, I've seen You and I've seen my heart, and I've got a trouble. It's unclean. It's unclean, God. How in the world can I come before You? How can I speak anything?" Hey, do you know that God knows what we need? God wanted Isaiah to confess it so He can cleanse it and commission this man. Let me ask you, sir, ma'am, what do you see about yourself to be unclean when you stand before a holy God? That's why a lot of people don't like the Word of God. That's why a lot of people don't like good preaching. That's why a lot of people, friend, listen, I don't like going and getting too much church, getting too much God on them. You say, "Why, preacher?" Well, it's this. When we get close to God and His glory and His light, we begin to see how dark and dirty we are. And a lot of people can't stand it. But I'll tell you, listen, friend, if we walk in the light as He is the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, Isaiah said, "Hey, Lord, I'm going to fess up. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner, Lord. I see myself, and I see my myself in need. And that's what we ought to see ourselves today as. We need to see ourselves as a sinner in need. I'm talking about a look that'll transform you from the inside out. I'm talking about a look, not one that would throw on a little makeup and try to cover up. I'm talking about something that will change you from the inside out. Something that will make you new. Something that will restore you. Something that will get you to a place that you need to be. And listen, what happened only after Isaiah confessed. Isaiah saw, he was seen, and that moved him to confessing. But bless God, it opened God up to cleanse him. He said, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from off the tongs of the from the altar. He laid upon my mouth, and lo, he said, 'This hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged.'" I'll tell you, that did something for Isaiah. Do you hear me? How that coal, that coal that come off the throne of the altar. How do you know where that is? You know what that represents? I believe it's talking about the brazen altar. And the brazen altar, listen to this, friend. I get this if you don't get anything else. It speaks of the place where the blood was shed. It speaks of the place where the atonement for sin was made. And I believe God told that angel, listen, you get you a set of tongs, you get you one of those coals from off the altar, and you take that, you apply it to the lips as signifying, you apply it to the lips of Isaiah, that prophet that's confessing he's unclean, that he's got a heart condition that needs touched by the grace and the power of God. You take it over and lay it on his lips. And I'll tell you what, it'll cleanse him. Thank God, listen, what can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath the flow. I lose all their guilty stain. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, if we begin to see God as He is, we see Isaiah seeing, it'll result in something. We see Isaiah confessing, and after, listen, he got under conviction. After he got to the place that he realized who he was and what he was in the eyes of God, he said, "God, woe is me, for I'm unclean. He said, "I've got a heart condition, and God said, "Well, bless the holy name of myself. I can do something about that." Hey, listen, sir, ma'am, your job is confessing. God's job is the cleansing. And if you do your job, and God will do His job, then there will be a commissioning. You know what? We want to get the heart, a cart before the horse a lot of time. And listen to what it goes on to say in verse 8. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us?' And then Isaiah said, 'Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me.'" Boy, isn't that a cry we ought to make? And look at the commissioning. "And he," meaning God, "said to Isaiah, 'Go and tell this people.'" Oh, look, he had a great ministry, did he not? He had a great work in prophecy. Had a great calling in his life because he saw something that he needed to see in a bad time in his life. In a time where something had died. In a time, friend, where something needed to happen in his life. Isaiah said, I began to see the Lord. I saw the Lord." Listen, friend, I'll guarantee you if you need to see Him, if you get in the Word of God, you'll begin to see Him. If you pray that prayer out of the book of Psalm, Psalm 119, I believe it's verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." It says, when I pray it daily, I pray, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy word." God will let you see. He wants you to see. Do you hear me? Why, even the revelation means an unveiling. God wants to be known. But listen, when you see yourself, when you get to know God, you'll see the truth about yourself. You'll get to know you. You'll get to seeing yourself. Oh, look, don't despair. Don't despair. If when you see yourself, you confess what it is you see. If you run to God and say, God, listen, I need cleanse. I need help. I need a touch. I need you to move me from this wrong place to the right place. God will do something. God will do something. He's already sent the Spirit of God in the world to lead us into all righteousness. He sent the Word of God in the world, listen, to educate us, instruct us, to right us where we've been wrong and then enable us to stay right. The inspiration of the Word of God is for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. I believe the Word of God says, and God, listen, will send you. He'll send you with the work that'll bring glory and honor to Him. Let me ask you, sir, ma'am, are you looking for something that'll change you? Bless God, you've got to look at the right place. You've got to look to the right one. And then once you see Him, you've got to do the right thing. God will do your part showing Himself to you. God will let you see Him, the pages of His Word, and in His Son, that incarnated God in flesh. And then listen, He'll cleanse you if you'll confess. And once you're cleansed, friend, once you're changed from the inside out, once God works on your heart, He'll commission you to do a work for God. He'll invite you and make you to become co-laborers with God in a work that is eternal. Go to Him today. Go to Him today. Say, God, I need to not only see You, but I need to be cleansed by You. He'll do it. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.